Hi everyone, and thanks for joining us today for our very first Digital Shop Talk. My name is Jimmy, I'm from Farmer's Edge, and I'll be here to moderate this talk today. I'm here to help our host with taking questions from you guys, the audience, and if at any time you do have a question, please type it into the question box. Now without further ado, I'm excited to welcome our very special guest host, Meredith Bernard. You might know her from YouTube or social media as This Farm Wife. We're really glad to have you with us, Meredith.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm excited to be here. Never done anything like this. I'm coming to y'all live from the McDonald's parking lot, if you wonder where I'm at, because I needed internet that worked. So here we go. I'm super excited to be here. I think this is going to be fun. It's going to be a great way for us to get together without being together and be able to talk shop and farming and what's going on in the world right now and answer some of your questions. So we're going to have fun with this. It's going to be lighthearted. I'm going to try to keep these guys in line as much as I can. And we're going to be taking your questions. But also remember, if you've entered a question, if you have submitted a question, you're entered for a drawing for a Yeti cooler. That's awesome. And if you didn't get a chance to submit your questions in advance, you can type them into the question box on the bottom right of your screen, I believe is where that's at. So we're going to try to get through as many questions as we can. In order to do that, I need to stop talking and introduce our panelists. So we're going to start with Brian Brown. Brian, can you raise your hand?
That's me.
That's you. Brian is a fourth generation farmer from Columbus, Ohio. You may also know him from his very popular YouTube channel, Brian's Farming Videos, where he shares his passion for the public with the daily ups and downs that farmers and their families experience. Anything you want to add or tell us what you've been doing or fun fact, just something about Brian.
No, that pretty much covers it. Internet might be lagging. I lost my screen. Am I still on here? Fun fact, I have bad internet connection.
Yeah, I can relate. There you are. You came back. Okay, awesome. All right, let's see. Next, Sean Stanford. Where you at, Sean?
Hello.
Sean is a farmer and custom applicator from Southern Alberta, which is north of where I'm at. He's a licensed heavy duty mechanic, which he dedicates his time to during the winter, as well as a delegate for the Alberta Barley Commission. And he's a proud volunteer firefighter. No, he hasn't participated in a calendar yet.
Not yet.
Thank you for having your shirt on today. We appreciate that, Sean. Anything you want to tell us what's going on?
I'm also the inventor of shower beers.
Yes, you are. He's the inventor of shower beers. So thank you for bringing that into the world.
You're welcome.
All righty. Next, Randy Ermacher, a fourth generation. Randy, where are you at? There. Okay. There you are. A fourth generation farmer who knew he wanted to continue his family's farming legacy with his family at a young age. And he seized the opportunity right out of high school. He farms with his brother, and his son is also an early adopter of the new technology. You do some really cool things. I enjoyed interviewing you last year.
Thank you.
What do you want to tell us? How are things in Nebraska?
Well, we got things going in the field now and doing a little strip tilling here, taking a break over lunch to do this. And I guess one of the fun facts is Hastings, where I've grown up, is the place where Kool-Aid was invented. So I guess we're firsthand closest to drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so it really is in the Kool-Aid there when they say that.
Yeah.
All right, great. All right, our last panelist, Derek Klingenberg. Where you at, Derek?
Hello.
Hello. Also known as YouTube sensation Farmer Derek, with over 100,000 YouTube subscribers. Whoop, whoop. Farmer Derek has racked up millions of views for his parodies and has received global media recognition for his videos. You do some fun things on YouTube, for sure. How are things with you? Fun fact, anything you want to share?
Yeah, fun fact. When I was in high school, I managed to step on a toothpick running through the house. And I screamed, you know, and I looked down and half the toothpick was on the floor. So I went to the doctor, they dug around, they found no toothpick. My foot hurt for 6 months, so I walked on the side of it. Finally, we did surgery. They pulled out the other half, and it's still square and everything, and I have it in a bottle at home.
Thank you for sharing that. I guess we asked, and you answered. Okay. That's exciting. All righty. Now, let's get started. Y'all ready to answer some questions?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. The first question is going to you, Brian. Let's see. How has your farm changed over the past 5 years or even just the past year? In the past 1 to 5 years, how have things changed on your operation?
Things have changed quite a bit. For example, 5 years ago, we were, we might have been making money then. Can't remember what the grain prices were. Lots of things have changed. We've recently switched our tillage practices. We were doing straight vertical tillage. Now we're kind of incorporating a strip till this year. That's just in the past 2 months. My brother, he recently joined the farming operation. So now there's three of us on the farm full time. So that was a big change in the past year. But those are the ones that stand out the most. And like I say, I guess both of those have been in the last 2 years. And I guess okay. Tech is really kind of taken over farming. I mean, in our operation, there's a lot more emphasis on making sure all of our monitors are calibrated right. We spend a lot more time in the office, and I want to say it used to be a lot more fun when we didn't do all that stuff. But
I understand what you mean. That is a lot of change. Let's see, Sean, can you answer that question? How's it changed for you or with your custom applicating process, whatever, however you want to answer that?
Well, about 6 years ago, I think is the first year I started custom spraying. So I've picked up a lot of clients since then and gotten a lot busier with that part of the business. For the farm itself, not a lot has changed really. I'm not a huge farm, so I haven't really bought much new equipment or practices haven't really changed that much. I'm just trying to do a better job with the acres I have to try to turn more profit. Land's pretty expensive around here, so I'm trying to squeeze every penny I can out of every acre.
All right. Thank y'all. That wasn't too hard, was it? All right. Now we're going to go to our first video question. Jimmy's going to play a question, and we're going to throw that one to Farmer Derek.
Yes, we do. We have a question here from David, and that is coming right up.
How long does it take you guys to plan on your expenses for your current crop year?
I use a lot of people to help me for the crop year, like we use a co-op for spraying, or I work with Farmer's Edge to come up with a plan. And usually I try to get out of as much work as possible. So I'm usually sending texts like, hey, can you do this for me? And so I don't know. I don't think it's really too bad.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else want to chime in on that question? Feel like they have anything?
Well, I think it goes on year round. I mean, we're still planning as we're in the harvest, you know, because you don't know, you know, at time, you know, this time of year, whether we're going to have to dry corn or just throw it in the bin or what, you know. So we're constantly planning and changing plans as the need arises.
Yeah, that's farming for sure. Okay, thanks y'all. I think now, Jimmy, do we have a question from the audience?
Yes, we do. We have a question from David, and I believe this one's for Brian. David would like to know, what was the most important factor in choosing your partners for your farm, such as data management partners?
Probably the ease of use. Like I mentioned earlier, when we're in the fields, it's really frustrating when you're constantly trying to, I mean, when you have so many different record keeping devices, you just got to go through each one. I don't know. I prefer it to be easy to use, the interface be easy for anyone to get on in the office and see what's going on. So that's kind of would be my biggest thing that I would look for in it.
All righty. Thank you.
It's time for the surprise giveaway. I'm going to ask a question. And the first person to type in the correct answer wins a $50 Visa gift card. Here's the question. This year, Farmer's Edge is celebrating a milestone. What year was Farmer's Edge founded? You got 15 seconds. Yes, we have a winner.
Good. The
winner is Ruben.
Ruben. Congrats, Ruben. And what was the answer?
The answer is Farmer's Edge was founded in 2005, and we are celebrating 15 years this year.
We're going to get back talking shop. This question, I'm going to throw this question to Randy. Is COVID-19 changing any of your plans for spring? And is there anything you thought would be an issue that hasn't been one so far?
So far, everything's been running really smoothly, but I don't know how long, you know, that's going to last, because it is moving into the area now. But some of the changes we've made, I guess, are we're just planning ahead more. We've made sure we're getting everything in our shop we need to farm for the, you know, at least through the planting season. Everything's on hand, so we don't have to depend on somebody else bringing it at the time. I know, like, dealerships now are, it's a call ahead. They set the parts out for you. You pick it up. There's no contact with any of the people in the dealer. So, I mean, that's just some of the changes that are going on.
What about you, Derek? Has it affected you, or how is it affecting you?
I haven't really noticed anything from a farming standpoint, but just that my kids are always home now and doing homeschooling. And I get a lot of calls from, like, pastors, or my mom's a piano teacher, and so I help them set up their online teaching and whatever, and videos. So that's kind of fun.
Okay, that's good. That's good. It's not farming related, but you're able to use your skills that you've been using for YouTube and your technical skills to help people. That's awesome. All right, Jimmy, do we have another video question?
Yes, we do. It's coming right up. Chantel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chantel Irvin, and I am from Arkansas. In my experience, variable rate technology has a little bit of a learning curve. I was wondering if you guys could speak to how you implemented VRT on your farm, what challenges that you have faced, and then what value you have found after implementing VRT on your farm. Thank you.
Okay, let's throw that one down to Sean. Can you answer that?
I'm a bad choice because I don't use variable rate on my farm at all. So.
Okay, never mind. Let's go to Brian.
This is actually our first year using VRT. We've been with Farmers Edge now for one full year, so we got our prescriptions through them. And just yesterday, I was running some VRT or some variable rate on some dry fertilizer, and the rain was coming, and I was like, okay, fill this thing up, try to get this spread out. And I didn't think I was ever going to get the fertilizer out of the back of the bed before the rain came, just because, I mean, we weren't using near as much. So there's definitely some savings there I'm seeing on this side of the growing season. Curious to see at the end of the growing season how that relates, if it made us any money, if it cost us any money. Not all of our acres are variable rate this year, probably a third of them. So I guess I don't have all the answers, but I'm definitely seeing some savings at the beginning of the season.
Randy, I'm going to throw it to you. I feel like you could talk to this.
Yeah, we've been variable rating for maybe 10 years or so already. We did some grid sampling way back in the day, and we're coming through probably on the third time around now on some of this stuff. And between that and making our own maps for the farms, you know, we have some dry land farms that are highly variable. So I made my own maps for that. And then fertilizer and seed on those acres. Then we have pivot corners. We always variable rated, so the planter and fertilizer machine would automatically adjust in the corners where we went into dry land. But now with Farmer's Edge, they've been doing our maps for at least 4 years, and you know, the fertilizer savings alone well pays for it. You're putting the product on where it needs to be, and you're maximizing your return on investment.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I knew you would be able to talk to that. Okay. Do we have any more? Jimmy, is there a question from the audience, maybe?
We have a video question from Shane.
My question's for really anybody that wants to tackle it on the panel. And so my question is, what are you most looking forward to with this coming growing season? Whether it's trying out a new digital tool, whether it's trying out a new agronomic practice, growing a new crop. Curious to hear what's getting you excited about the coming growing season.
Okay, I'm going to throw that one back to you, Sean.
Sure. I'm looking forward to not growing any canola this year because I hate it. It costs me a ton of money to grow, and I usually don't make any money on it. So I'm back to the basics, wheat, barley, and some flax this year. And I'm excited for that because I know I'm going to do well this year.
Awesome. Well, that's good. It sounds like you've got something to be excited for then. It's always good to grow something you can make money with.
That's the plan, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Derek?
Well, I'm excited because I am growing a new crop this year, and this is a coffee tree.
Oh, okay. How?
I was in Nicaragua, and I brought some seeds back, so it's just fun to try something different.
Just one? A crop of one?
Oh, I've got like 12.
Oh, okay. You've got a row, a small row. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Can't wait to see how that goes. Do we have any questions from the audience otherwise?
Yes, we do. We have a question from Eric, and he's wondering, who has used the health change layers to identify issues in the fields, and how have they used that?
Is there anybody that's done that wants to chime in on that?
I've used it a few times. I don't look at it probably as often as I should, but times that I have noticed that I've been able to identify some compaction issues we were having. You could see where maybe our gravelly ground was in certain years. This past year, I was able to see all of our tile lines because that was the only place that the crops actually looked healthy. That's, like I said, I should probably use it more than I do, but just still kind of getting the hang of it. I was going to say, I did identify a time where our side dress applicator screwed up, and we end up with like a 10-foot section all across like 400 acres of corn. So that actually did save some money there.
Okay, go ahead, Sean.
Where I use mine a lot is with my irrigated fields. So I'm able to tell if there's a spot where there's water pooling or a drier area in the field. The health change notifications will let me see that right away. I've also used it. Unfortunately, whenever I have hailstorms come through, I can see exactly where the path of the storm went, and I can go out and I don't have to walk every single acre of the field. I have a good idea where the storm went, and me and the insurance adjuster can go deal with it from there. So it saves a lot of footsteps for sure.
Awesome. Here's a question. I will throw this one back to you, Randy. What is the most important factor in choosing a partner for your farm operation, whether it's a seed dealer, data service, equipment dealer, agronomy, anything like that?
Well, the value, you know, it's you got to weigh everything out, and you look at what it costs and what you get out of it. And I call it the value. Everybody's got to work together and have the same goals in the end too. You know, if you have, you're working with somebody that, you know, is just out to make a buck, it's probably not going to last very long. But if there's a true relationship, you know, in a dealer or a data company or whatever, I feel that's where you get your most value.
That's a great answer. I want to ask you, Brian, because you've only been doing well with this company anyway for a year. What made you adopt ag tech for your farm? Or maybe how long have you been using it?
Like I said, I've been with Farmers Edge for a year. I was with a different company before that. The reason we kind of moved towards Farmers Edge, I was really wanting some help with variable rate, really. I mean, it was something that kind of scared me, I guess. Didn't really know a whole lot about. And I seen that they did soil testing and all that stuff, and that seemed like a pretty good value to me. I knew we needed to soil test most of our farm anyways. I was like, oh, man, for that price and what we were getting, I thought it seemed like a pretty good idea.
Very good. Jimmy, do we have any other either video questions or questions from the floor?
Yeah, we have a video question from Ben.
So what's the value of having an on-farm weather station when everyone has weather on their phone already anyway?
How many of y'all have the weather station, everybody? Let's go to you, Sean. How does it help you?
So the closest weather stations besides my Farmer's Edge ones are about 10 or 12 miles away in either direction. So I'm right in the middle. So they're not really that relative to me. It could be saying it's snowing 10 miles away, but it's sunny here. So right. I use it actually a lot during the spraying season. I can access any of the weather stations on Farmers Edge's network. So if I'm going custom spraying, say 40, 50 miles away, I can check the closest station and be able to see what the conditions are there and if I'm able to go to work there today.
Very good. What about you, Farmer Derek?
Well, I like that it's accurate. I'll get, you know, some emails saying how much they thought it rained and it's not right. I just like to know exactly what, how it was. And yeah, and it's just interesting. We don't have any stations close by. And I also love to watch the thing twirl around in the wind.
Mesmerizing.
I do too. I love to watch Woodrow. This little thing. I named mine. And Randy.
Yeah. Yours yeah. too, right?
I
have one that's named Murray after a local farm dog.
Jimmy, is there any other questions from the chat?
Yeah, there is. We have a question for Sean. Since you aren't using VRT, what part of the Farmer's Edge program do you find most valuable or useful?
Their agronomists are actually really good. So they come and still soil sample all my fields, and we make a plan in the fall, and I pre-buy as much fertilizer as I can, band as much nitrogen as I can in the fall, so I have a jump on things in the spring. So I still use the soil sampling services that they offer. That's a huge help. Also, when I am busy custom spraying, I check my health notifications pretty well every morning before I go out, so I know if there's something wrong with one of my crops, and I can either go look at it if I get an extra hour during the day, or I can call someone to go check it out for me. So there is a lot of benefits besides just variable rate.
Great. Any other questions, Jimmy?
Yeah, we have one from Max, and he'd like to know, what imagery layers do you guys use the most and why?
Anybody want to jump on that, or I'll go, Derek.
Well, I'll look at the scouting, or I'll look at the scouting and the health, and it works really well when we're chopping silage, because I can tell exactly where there's good silage, or like this year, this last harvest, we had a lot of rain, so we didn't need all the silage. So I was like, hey, let's just cut the rest for grain. And so I figured out where we should cut for grain, and that worked really well.
That's a great idea.
I got another one.
Okay, go.
And then we also apply cattle manure. And after I get done spreading it, I text my agronomist, and she looks on the satellite imagery like 2 days later, and then she takes that part out so we don't put P and K there.
Do you have any other questions, Jimmy?
I do. I got one more, and this one is for Brian and Derek. How do you manage your time for capturing and editing all your video footage and responding to YouTube comments during busier times of the year? And that one is from Carl.
Personally, as far as like the editing and stuff like that, I do everything on a mobile device. So if I catch any downtime while I'm waiting in line at the elevator or something, I'll either respond to comments or try to edit some. And then I usually just stay up pretty late.
Yeah, stay up late or get up extra early is what I tend to do, it seems like.
I don't know.
Yeah, what about you? What about you, Derek?
Oh, same kind of deal. And well, I'll take the video camera along and film some shots if I'm making like a parody or whatever. We try to have a plan, be pretty efficient, and just stay up late or get up really early.
Right. I guess with the filming part of it, I just I don't know. I carry my camera pretty much everywhere now. I never thought I would be doing that, but now I do.
Well, I'll say one more thing for fun. I have a green screen right here, and it rolls down. And so I can come in here at night. It doesn't matter if the weather's bad or whatever, and then I can film scenes in here.
You should have had the green screen going for this, man.
I know.
That's cool. What are you thinking?
Sorry.
Sean, I'm gonna send this one to you. When it's time to hit the field, things don't always go as smoothly as planned. Yeah, we know that. What do you do to stay positive and motivated to push through long hours and the challenges and the things that come up?
I look forward to the things that I enjoy. So I do like being outside and working in the field. I know things don't always go right, but still better than being stuck in the shop or sitting behind a desk or something like that. I really like being outside and working. The other things that help, yes, coffee. Coffee's great. The end of the day, alcohol helps a lot. So there are some good points out there. There's lots of good things.
Yeah, there is. What about you, Randy?
Well, I just think back over the years of all the things that have worried us and given us troubles, and And, you know, we made it through everything else. So we just keep going forward, you know, even though it could end up on plan Q, you know, you just keep changing for the times and trudging forward.
That's right. Farmer's the eternal optimist. And yeah, just kind of got to go with it, don't we? Find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. Brian, how do you decide when it's time to invest in new equipment?
Well, I guess, like for example, our combines right now, when markets were a little bit better and we could afford to, we were rolling them a lot more frequently. Now we're keeping them, and I mean, there's really not a lot of trade value in them anymore. So it just kind of becomes an equation of when are we putting more money in this than it's worth versus, like, I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. I guess I don't have a great answer for you. I wish I had some kind of equation I could give that says, well, this is the ideal time to update, but really it just depends on how our cash flow is looking and stuff like that.
I wish there was a lot of magical equations.
Yeah.
It really isn't. Anyone else want to chime in on that one?
Well, I think it all depends on, you know, the individual farm too. You know, Brian said something about combines, and you know, we were at point last fall, it's either we got to trade or get another one because we have too many acres to run with an old combine. So we end up trading, hopefully it gets built. But, you know, it's just each farm has its own individual needs, and you just have to look at each piece of equipment and what's best for the farm.
That's right. You could be like us and have a 1978 gleaner. Do we have any more questions from you, Jimmy?
Yeah, we have an audience question from Crystal. Nothing ever goes as planned. With that being said, how do you deal when things break? Do you fix them yourselves, or do you send them off to be fixed?
With us personally, it's kind of, we weigh out, is this going to end up costing us more time, and time is money. So if it's something that we feel confident we can fix and save a service call, we'll go ahead and do it. But if it's something that, well, that is probably above what we're capable of doing in a timely fashion, it's going to take us 4 days to fix it, whereas a tech could come down and fix it in 6 hours, we're probably just going to call the service tech. But I mean, that also is in the busy season. If it was winter and things were a little slower, we would try to fix it ourselves.
That's a really good point. Yeah. We probably all are kind of in that same boat, I'm assuming.
I pretty well fix everything myself because I have more time than money, I guess. So
one of the problems is we don't have all the tools. You know, a lot of things take a computer to fix anymore. And you know, every farmer doesn't have all the software and computers that it takes to, you know, look into a lot of these issues now. That's one also thing, a factor.
One thing that drives me nuts is, like, for example, we just bought a replaced a soybean planter. Well, we had to upgrade the planter's software. I don't have a Case IH computer. I mean, I don't have that software. I can't do that. I have to call a tech versus, like, my phone here, I can at least update it on my own. I don't have to call Apple and make them update my phone or pay to have them update it. So that part kind of irks me a little bit.
I mean, I don't have those problems on my farm because we don't have anything on the computer. But it's interesting to think about that. Maybe that would be an option at some point to be able to have updatable software to help.
Well, some companies allow you to, you know, they put out the software updates and some don't. And I'm not real sure why Case doesn't put theirs out, but they don't. Yeah, they have to have a tech to update their monitors.
All right. Do you have any other questions, Jimmy?
I think we have one more. And this one's from Lee. With all the new biopesticides, microbials, etc. coming to the market, how do you evaluate these types of products to purchase?
Well, I call it snake oil. I don't buy into any of that junk. You got to stick with basic agronomy. I mean, like we've been no-till since 2000. And I think that's the best way to build up your microbes and or manure or even cover crops. So that's where I stand there. One of my friends is the canola breeder at K-State, and I'll hit him with a question. He's like, just stick to what we learned in class, man. That's all that matters.
What do you think, Sean?
Once in a while, I'll try a new product, but I'll just do a small scale strip trial. So split a field in half and treat half with the snake oil and the other half don't, and see what the yield model says at the end of the year. Sometimes there's good results, sometimes it breaks even, sometimes it's no results at all. So I don't mind trying once in a while, as long as it's not something real expensive, but it's really hit and miss. It seems like the weather has more to do with the results than anything.
Let's see, Randy, as a Farmer's Edge customer for a while now, which digital tool has had the biggest impact on your operation?
Well, the zone soil sampling and the variable rate maps, that's where I find the biggest value. They also have some moisture sensors now that we've put out under the pivots. So last year we had them out for the first time, but really didn't get to use them because it just rained all summer. So we'll see on another year, you know, how much value they really have.
What about you, Sean? Because you do things from a different perspective. What is it that you find and use the most helpful?
So I have a soil moisture probe as well, like Randy does, but it doesn't rain here, so I actually used mine under my. The other thing I have is I find a lot of value in my yield monitor, and Farmer's Edge overlays my yield data into the program, and I can compare it to the health maps, to the scouting maps, and make sure that there was actually progression through the field like there should have been, and I got the most value out of the spots that I thought I should have in the field.
Anybody else want to chime in with their favorite tool from Farmer's Edge?
Mine would probably be the, like Randy was saying, the zone sampling. I've been pretty happy with that so far and seeing the variable rate.
Hey, Derek, here's one for you. If you could have the perfect digital tool to help on your farm, maybe it's not something you have now, what would that be? Rub the genie's bottle.
You mean like just like even if it's not invented yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably autonomous stuff so I don't have to do anything. I really want my own rocket. I mean, let's be honest. That'd be so cool.
I've never once thought that.
The legality to get in a launch pad is insane. So it's not gonna happen.
You never know. We never say never. You might have a video that skyrockets.
Yeah. That's how you can get a video to skyrocket. You can ride the rocket.
Yeah. There's no way that's going to work. It'll probably blow up on the way over to the launch pad.
Oh, gosh. We've got lawn maintenance going on around me. If you can hear them, I'm sorry.
Just go inside.
Not going inside. Social distancing. This question is going to be for everybody. We're going to get four answers. What ag technology are you most looking forward to? Automation, yield prediction, something else?
I don't know, probably yield prediction. I mean, as far as automation, I still like being in the equipment and seeing everything firsthand. But if we had more technology, as far as yield prediction, like telling me in the middle of the growing season where I need to apply fertilizer and stuff, if that was a little bit more refined, I think that would be pretty awesome.
Okay. John?
Yeah, yield prediction sounds pretty neat. I would eventually, maybe in the next 30 years, like to try variable rate. I know I'm only about 15 years behind the curve so far, but something like that seems pretty neat to me. Just it'll take me a while to get there is all.
What about you, Derek?
I just want a rocket.
Okay.
Maybe a drone rocket?
A drone rocket.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That might
be safer. Anybody can help me out with that up there, let me know.
Randy?
I want wireless monitors in the tractor so we don't have wires strung out all over the place all the time. And then the autonomous grain cart would be pretty nice too. Harvest time, we're always stretched on labor. So that would be a nice thing to have.
I like those ideas. That seems doable. Seems like we should be able to have that.
Easier than a rocket. Wire.
Yeah, I think so.
It drives me crazy that an auto steer monitor costs the price that it does, and we still have to plug a USB drive into it to like import maps and stuff. I'm like, why can't I just connect to this with my phone, transfer the email, and go?
Surely somebody's working on that in a back room somewhere.
It probably already exists. I just don't have it. I don't know.
there are some applications already that we use just an iPad on, you know, like a grain cart scale and stuff like that. Yeah. That's all wireless. So the technology's there. You just need the brains on the implement and the iPad with the proper app to run it.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot cheaper than a monitor.
I think eventually, like a tablet is going to be your monitor. Like, I don't think you're going to have like an Ag Leader display or something like that. I think it's just going to be an app that Ag Leader or Raven or whoever has that runs through iOS or something like that eventually.
Right.
Very good. Here's a question on data, however you say that. Do you think farmers view data security differently than consumers? And how important is data ownership? Randy?
That's kind of a loaded question. I think farmers are a little more reluctant to share their data than what the consumer probably wants. As far as data ownership, I mean, you could go either way. It's either you could say, and I see both sides of it, where some people say, well, that's my data, I'm going to keep it. But on the other hand, if you're sharing data and getting stuff back in return, it's helping everybody out. But then there's another case where, you know, somebody takes the data and then goes to use it and, you know, tries to rent a farm or something with that. That's going way too far. You know, somewhere in between all this, we got to find the right place, and everybody's going to have a different line in the sand. That's just the way it is.
I think you said that well. Did anybody else want to chime in on that? No.
I know. I used to have a different opinion on it until like the past 4 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I know what you're talking about there. I never really worried about my data being shared, just because it seems like, I don't know, I feel like the USDA is going to know most of it anyways. But then whenever I seen certain circumstances where data was being used in the light you were talking about, Randy, where people were using it to rent a farm, like, I don't know, now that's kind of changes how I felt personally a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, I think we're about out of questions. That wasn't too bad. We're even wrapping up a little early so you can get back at it. What are you? We'll just go around. Like, where are you at in Plant 2020? Where are you at right now? What are you doing? How's it looking? Brian?
We started planting soybeans a couple days ago. We didn't plant a lot. This is like 3 weeks early from where we would usually start, but it's 75 here and fairly dry. So put those in the ground. We've been spraying, burn down, and trying to get the strip till bar up and going so we can start hammering corn in a couple of weeks.
All right. Very good. Best wishes. Sean, how's it up there?
I'm still waiting for the snow to melt around the air drills, so I get up to work on it.
Oh my God.
It snowed a bunch here a couple of days ago, so it's still melting down. It's cold. It freezes here every night. We're supposed to get more snow on the weekend, so I'm just working on whatever equipment I can whenever I get a chance, and we're a good few weeks away from even attempting to do anything, so I got time to drink more coffee and have some more shower beers. I'm not worried.
Okay, good. Sounds like a plan. Derek?
We started planting corn Monday, and we'll be mostly done tomorrow, and we're burning grass for grazing cattle, and apparently all the smoke's blowing up to Randy's house. So I'm going to keep burning, Randy.
I thought my tractor was on fire the other day. No, it's just Farmer Derek burning his pastures.
That's right. We got more to burn.
I really didn't understand what all that was about on Twitter when you were talking about it, but I played along. Oh, what about you, Randy?
Oh, we've put on a little liquid fertilizer. I think we just got one more quarter to do the before, and we'll side dress the rest. We got the strip till bar going yesterday, and that's starting to work pretty good. It's been pretty muddy, so that just really started to work good yesterday. And I'm just trying to get the sprayer ready to roll, and anything that we need to do and get done, we can. I would have liked to have put some soybeans in the end of the week too, but I looked at the weather forecast and we've got several days of highs about 40 and lows below 25. So I think the soybean seed may be safer in the bag.
What's going on with at your farm, Meredith? You forgot you.
No, I'm just the host. Well, there's a lot going on. We need more hands. We need to work calves, and cattle market's down, so we fall calves, so we have all of our what will be weanlings that need to be sold, but we just made an executive decision to keep them through the summer and feed them because we actually had some corn left over and we didn't want to give it away either. So we're gonna feed all summer. We've got hay that should be ready in the next couple weeks. He's tilling some ground right now for some more hay ground that we got next to us that needs to be completely redone. And yeah, we need to plant some corn, some silage corn, and some other corn, and got some beans. We have barley that'll be ready to harvest. I don't know when that happens. First time I've ever done barley. It's really tall and green. I don't think it's quite ready yet, though. So where we're at, we're rocking and rolling with our non-computerized, non-automated equipment. It's fun. I'm happy to be here. And thank you to Farmers Edge for hosting this and letting us do this. I think this was fun. Did y'all have fun with this? I hope everyone that watched enjoyed it and got something out of it. I think y'all did a great job answering questions, and this was a great way to kind of get together, getting together. And hopefully by winter we can get together again at meetings and stuff, and all this will be behind us. But just want everybody out there to know that, we support you. We're thinking about everybody, and we're all in this together. We're better together, and proud to be farmers and proud of all our farmers, and hang in there. So I guess that's it, Jimmy.
Just want to thank everyone for joining and thank you for all the questions. If you're interested in doing more things like this, please let us know. You are going to get a survey by email afterwards. If you complete it, you have more chances to win. You can win a $100 Visa gift card. I'm sorry we missed some of the questions, but if you did submit a question, you will get another entry into the Yeti cooler draw. So Brian, Sean, Derek, Randy, Meredith, thank you all so very much for doing this with us.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks, guys. Take care.